So I want to discuss about everything depends on God. So devotee studies the Shastra, and then by dint of his own experience, he realizes that the absolute truth, Bhagavan or Sri Krishna, is actually a person. And that all the material ingredients, the activities, time factor, the modes of nature, and even we living entities who try to enjoy this material world, we're existing only by the mercy of God. Therefore, we're dependent. As soon as Krishna withdraws his attention or care, everything ceases to be. Everything depends on Krishna. Although Krishna is fully independent of the material world, everything is ultimately non-different from him. Prabhupada explains, no one has independent existence, just as no electric lamp has independent effulgence. Each and every electrical instrument depends fully on the total powerhouse. The total powerhouse depends on the reservoir of water for generating electricity, if it's hydroelectric power company. Water depends on clouds, and clouds depend on the sun, and the sun depends on creation, and creation depends on the movements and will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam. Because if you go back and back and back, well, the cause of life is chemicals. What's the cause of chemicals? Oh, I don't know. And so you go back and back, so ultimately it's Krishna. And then some clever, smart alex, they say, you say, well, God is the cause. And they say, who's the cause of God? And that's where the buck stops there. That's the meaning of God, the original being, the eternal original being, the source of all others. And if there's somebody behind him, then he's not God. From Krishna's energy and by his will, the Virat Purusha gradually developed, just as a child develops in the womb. First, the Virat Rupa's sense energy, mental force, and bodily strength are generated. These dictate the living entity's movements, just as a king's movements lead his citizens. Next, because the Virata Purush possesses living force, he develops hunger and thirst and opens his mouth. Then, one after another, the palate, ears, eyes, nostrils, legs, hands, skin, genital, anus, navel, mind, abdomen, intestines, life breath, blood, fat, marrow, bone are generated. As each of these bodily parts, the Adi Bhautik person in the Virat Purusha is generated, the appropriate controlling deity, Adi Daivaka person, is generated. For example, Varuna, the demigod controlling the tongue and sense of taste, is generated simultaneously with the Virat Purusha's tongue. The individual soul who will experience material life through the senses by the potency of these controlling demigods is called adhyatmic person. Sridhar Swami remarks that in subsequent verses one should infer that any sense organs, presiding deities, or sense objects not mentioned have also been generated. So independence. Everything ultimately depends on God. Krishna alone is independent. Although living entities thinks himself independent, he is not. Krishna allows each living entity the choice to use his senses either for his own pleasure or for Krishna's service. The idea is that the living entity can see only when the Lord sees. He can smell only when the Lord smells. The living entity cannot do anything independently. He can simply think of doing something independently, but he cannot act independently. This independence in thinking is there by the grace of the Lord. But the thinking can be given shape by the grace of the Lord. Man proposes, God disposes. And therefore the common saying is that man proposes and God disposes. The whole explanation is on the subject of the absolute dependence of living entities and the absolute independence of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada goes on, 2:10:20:4. In every item we can note with profit that the sense organs of the living entity are never independent at any stage. The Lord is known as the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh. Thus, the sense organs of the living entities are manifested by the will of the Lord, and each organ is controlled by a certain type of demigod. No one, therefore, can claim proprietorship on the senses. The living entity is controlled by the senses are controlled by the demigods, and the demigods are the servants of the Supreme Lord. That is the arrangement of the system of creation. The whole thing is controlled ultimately by the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and there is no independence, either a material nature or the living entity. Independence is an illusion. Mark it tightly. So this we realize how we're dependent. We have eyes. Oh yes, I can see whatever I want. I'm independent. Not sure? What if there's no light? Then? What if the demigod, there's a demigod controlling the eyelid? There's 33 million demigods and they have their expansions in every body of every body. So that there's a demigod that controls the lifting and the falling of the eyelid. So that demigod is not cooperating with us. He goes on strike and we can't lift our eyelid up. You see old people when they get too old, their eyelids droop down. They can't even keep their eyelids open. Droopy eyes. So that means the demigod is not cooperating with them. The environment is full of humor, actually. Krishna is a very humorous creator. So Vidura, he wandered all over searching for Krishna after he left the palace in Hastinapur. He wandered fearlessly from one holy place to another, from east to west, for 30 to 35 years. He sanctified his mind by bathing in holy rivers like Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, and lakes. He performed austerities and neither combed his hair nor slept in a bed. His consciousness was focused on Krishna. He visited the ancient chakra-top temples established by the sages and demigods. Means Vishnu temples, Krishna. After years of constant travel, Vidura arrived at Prabhasa Kshetra, which is located on the coast of Gujarat. There he learned that Lord Krishna and the Yadu dynasty had departed from this world while he was on Yatra. Feeling great sadness, Vidura gradually made his way east until he reached a land on the bank of the Yamuna, north of present-day Delhi. It was actually Gurugram. Srila Prabhupada's thought-provoking purport describes the potency of searching for Krishna in the holy lands. So this is what the six Goswamis did when they came to Vrindavan. Hey Radhe Vrajadeva Keja Lalita, Hey Nanda Sunakuta, Sri Govardhana Kalpapada Patle Kalindi Vanya Kuta, Goshanta Viti Sarvato Vrajapure Kedar Mahavibhalo, Vande Rupa Sanatana Vri Gosu Jiva Gopalago, Radha Kunda Tate Kalindi Taniya. So they were searching everywhere, Radha Kunda, Kalindi Jamuna, Manasi Ganga, Govardhan, Krishna Kahan, Radha Kahan, Saka, Sridham, Subal, where are you? Madamanga, Alita, Vishaka, Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri. I'm here and you're there. I'm here and you're also here, but I can't see you. What is my deficiency? What is my defect? Why won't you show yourself to me? What is my problem? The Prabhupada describes in this third canto dialogue, Chapter 10, text 34. What is the potency of searching for Krishna in Vrindavan? Brajabhumi is very sacred because Krishna wandered all over this land many times. From the beginning of his appearance in Gokul, or rather, in Mathura, in the house of his maternal uncle, Kamsa. Then he was reared by his foster father, Maharaj Nanda, in Vrindavan. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering in Vrindavan in ecstasy, in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. Interesting, Prabhupada says that. He doesn't say lingering in ecstasy in search of Krishna's childhood associates, the gopas. He says the gopis. It is not that gopi bhava rasamrita dilahari kalo lamagno mahora vande lupa snatanago sujiva gopala. So it is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in Brajabhumi, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained. So not seeing him is the same as seeing him. It's very hard to explain. But it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. So this is searching for Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a purport to explain about Krishna in Vrindavan and his life in Gokul and Raman Reti Vrindavan, Chatikar. And Nandagram was divided into three portions. It's called Balya Leela and Poganda and Kaishor Leela. So it's Balya Leela, and the three portions are from birth to 3 years and 4 months, and from three years and 4 months to 6 years and 8 months, and from 6 years and 8 months to 10 years and 7 months. So you divide three places times 3 years and 4 months, 3.4 and 3.4, 6.8. And 6.8 plus 3.4 is 10. And somehow it says 10 years and 7 months, a little bit extra. He stayed in Nandagram. The first 3 years and 4 months that Krishna stayed in Mahavan or Gokul were the equivalent of 5 years for an ordinary child, because Padma Puran says that certain exalted individuals mature at a rate 1.5 times more than others. And in that period, he completed his Komara stage of childhood, or Balya Leela. Then, from 6 years and 8 months, when he lived in Vrindavan, this consisted of his Poganda age. So from 3 years, 4 months, the 6 years, 8 months, he lived in Chatikar, Vrindavan. Then, from the age of 6 years and 8 months through his 10th year, during which time he lived in Nandishwar, Nandagram, this was his Kaishur age. At the age of 10 years and 7 months, on the 11th lunar day of the dark fortnight of the month of Chaitra, Akrura took him to Mathura. And on Chaturdasi, so Ekadasi, he left. And Chaturdasi killed Kamsa. Thus Krishna completed his Kaishura period at age 10, and he eternally remains at that age. So using this formula of 1.5 times, he's 10 plus half is 5, so Krishna's eternal age of Kaishura or Navayovanam is 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. So Krishna's activities were very wonderful in Vrindavan, and he graced the land of Vrindavan in three periods of his life.